John came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It was perhaps 8 or 10 years ago, I had an opportunity to travel to Israel. It was on a priest familiarity tour. I traveled with other priests, and we went to all the holy sites, but we didn't have much time at each of the holy sites. Basically, it was a trip that got us familiar with the holy sites so that we would come back to our own parishes and then bring back a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. So we did an 8-day tour in 5 days. So it was very quick. On my way over there, we stopped in Kennedy Airport in New York City. We went through the U.S. Customs. And then we had to go through Israeli security. They're very tight. They take us individually, question us. I remember walking into a room. There was a counter there, and behind the counter was a Israeli agent for the airlines, for the security, young woman. And she asked to see my carry-on luggage. I gave it to her, and she pulled out everything from the bag. And she picked up a book I had. And she said, "What is this book?" I said, "Well, it's a commentary on the New Testament, the Gospel of St. Matthew." She said, "I don't understand gospel." I said, "Well, it's part of the New Testament, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John." I didn't want to bring the whole Bible. She said, "I don't understand New Testament." I said, "Well, it's a part of the Bible with the Old Testament, the New Testament." And she says, "I don't understand Old Testament." Thought for a second. Then I said, "The Hebrew Scriptures." And she smiled, gave me my book back, and I was free to go. It wasn't that she didn't understand. She understood well. But she wanted me to understand that for them it's not the Old Testament. They're still experiencing the prophecies. They're looking forward to this Messiah that is to come for them. For they have rejected Jesus. They don't recognize him as the Messiah, the Christ. But for us, we do. And so we call the Hebrew Scriptures the Old Testament for a purpose, because there is a new witness, a new testament, a new covenant that we follow, that is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. However, we who are Gentiles perhaps have a hard time understanding the connection between Old Testament and New Testament, but we should. St. Paul says that we Gentiles have been grafted on to the vine of Israel, so that we have a true heritage there. We can't understand the New Testament unless we understand certain aspects of the Old. And that is particularly the case with today's Gospel. For here the Jewish priests and Levites are coming to John the Baptist because they think that he could be the one, either the Messiah, the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet. Well, who are these three people? Are they separate? Are they one person? Well, at that time, the Jews didn't know. All they knew is that there was prophecy given to them, beginning with Moses 1,500 years earlier. There, Moses made this prophecy in Deuteronomy chapter 18. He says, "A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from amongst your own kinsmen. To him shall you listen. This is exactly what you requested of the Lord your God on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see his great fire anymore, lest we die.' And the Lord said to me, 'Moses, This was well said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from amongst their own kinsmen, and I will put my words into his mouth, and he shall tell them all I command him. If any man will not listen to my words which he speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it. So, of course, the Jews were wondering, ever since Moses uttered those words, who this prophet could be? Who is he? Now, there are many prophets that the Lord sent to the Israelites over the years. All were referring to this future event, the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. And so they come to John the Baptist asking, are you this prophet? And John says, no. Now later on in John's Gospel, he will show us Jesus answering that question in chapter 6. But for now, let us look at the prophecy dealing with Elijah. Here they come to John the Baptist asking, if you're not the prophet, are you Elijah? Why Elijah? Well, the last book of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi, in the last few lines of Scripture here, makes this prophecy, lo, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the day of the Lord comes, the great and terrible day, to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with doom. And so the Jewish priests and Levites want to know if he is Elijah, the forerunner. And John says of himself he's not. But Jesus does in Matthew's Gospel. He says, if you can accept it, John the Baptist is Elijah. He comes with the spirit of prophecy, this power to pronounce God's word. If we recall, at the foot of the cross, Jesus cites Psalm 22. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And someone from the crowd cries out, look, he's calling for Elijah. Huh? I asked a scripture friend of mine why he would say that. We pointed out that Elijah, Elijah, and Eli are similar. It's the same root word. My God. And so they were anticipating, oh, here Jesus is dying on the cross. Will Elijah come now? So much did they have this prophecy in their mind that they were anticipating him coming at any moment. But in any event, John says, no, I am not Elijah, I'm not the prophet, I am not the Christ, the Messiah. I'm a voice of one who cries out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. John sees himself fulfilling prophecy of Isaiah that we heard in the first reading. And he sees that he is only there to announce the coming of the Lord. And what does the Lord look like when he comes? We don't have to guess. John tells us, when Jesus comes on the scene to be baptized by him in the Jordan, does John the Baptist cry out, look, the Messiah? No. Look, the prophet? No. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. John is making a prophecy about Jesus, that Jesus comes into this world to sacrifice himself. And he'll do this on the altar of the cross. Behold the Lamb of God. The book of Revelation ties this up at the end of the New Testament when it describes a vision of St. John, the evangelist, who has the altar there. And then on the altar is a lamb that was once slain but is now living. And people are invited to to the Lamb's supper. That's why we say right before communion, behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the Lamb's supper. We are called into prophecy, the fulfillment of which is in Jesus Christ. So we recognize this about Jesus. that He is the One, He is the light of the world, and that His light must come into us. Because John the Baptist says something next that all of us must understand totally. If we don't understand this next thing about Christian spirituality, Catholic spirituality, we really don't understand anything. For John the Baptist says of Jesus, He must increase and I must decrease. Jesus must increase in me, and my selfishness, my desires are sinful, my pride, everything must decrease. Jesus must take over myself in a spiritual sense, that we empty ourselves so that Christ may fill us. This is at the heart of our Catholic Christian spirituality, that we come here Sunday after Sunday desiring this. We come to have Christ fill us. And indeed, He does offer Himself to us in the Eucharist. He's offering Himself to us in His Word being preached and proclaimed this morning. If we are open to it, if we're open to His witness, the testimony, for Christ Himself, it says, that He has come to offer a new covenant in His blood. This is what we are here for. And so the Church wants us to be prepared for the coming of Christ at the end of time, that we may utilize the Holy Spirit, that we have this transformation, this metanoia over ourselves. Christ must increase and we must decrease. But if we give ourselves to sin, Scripture says there is no sacrifice that can take away that sin besides the blood of Christ. And so the Church is offering us ample opportunity this Advent to wash ourselves in the blood of Christ. How? In the sacrament of reconciliation. This past Thursday we had a communal penance service here at 7 p.m. Could have been better attended. We had a tournament that night. Mental note for next year. But this coming week we'll have opportunities at St. Paul's on Tuesday night, St. Anthony's in Hoopston Wednesday night, Holy Family Thursday night, and in St. Isaac Jogues Friday night. You know, we prepare for Christmas in so many ways. We should prepare our souls first and foremost. So as we continue with this Mass, let us pray for ourselves, that we're open to the light of Christ that He is offering to us, that we truly take in the Holy Spirit so that He must increase and we must decrease. But let us pray for the many others who do not believe, for the many others who have rejected Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, not only the Jews, but even our family members. Let us take up the role of John the Baptist and point not to ourselves, but point to Christ.